Rise and welcome to our platform, Lazma Baluk.
Good morning. How are you? Great. You know, my country, we live in the time when you can see like thousands of people fall down to your left and to your right. How many businesses can be bankrupt in a day, in 2 days, because of foreigners? Because you don't know what are the plans of your enemy, how far they will go into your country. Nobody knows. And, you know, it has been continuing for a year. Our country started with a revolution, and it grew into a war. And it affected all areas, social area, economical area, all fields in our country is affected by war. And when you know God, when you have a relationship with God, when you talk with God, when you walk with God, then you don't just go to church. When your faith is not just like a reading Bible, just praying, just going to some meetings, then you don't feel that it is so devastating or so terrible. And I would like to talk with you today about faith, really, about faith and flesh, about these two kinds in our life. And really, our faith can be seen whether we really have faith only when your circumstances are very pressed. Because when everything is okay, you don't need faith to live. You know, when everything is calm, quiet, good, you just enjoy life, thank God, be grateful, and like this. But when things are becoming dark outside and pressing you, then really you can see whether you have faith. Do you believe really in God? What's your attitude every day? Are you in depression? Can you smile? Are you healthy? Can you keep your health going on in this time? And I would like you to open your Bibles. The first book of Bible, 25th chapter. 25th, yes. 19th verse. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. And it is written, Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel. And 21st, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her. And she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." And when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, the brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Now we see two boys in Rebecca's womb after the prayer of her husband. You know, we know that Abraham is the father of faith, and we know that his wife was barren too. And to get a child, or to have a child, they had to have faith. And we see their son, Isaac, has the same problem. His wife is barren. And again, they need to have faith to have a baby. And so on. We see that very often when we are called by God, when we have calling from God, it doesn't mean that all circumstances are perfect. When we become children of God, it doesn't mean that all circumstances, all outside or inside, everything will be okay and perfect just because we are called by God. And really, God shows us from the first days of these two boys that their appearance in this world is only just because of Him. It's not the will of parents. Like we saw that the way like Isaac appeared, it was just the face of father and mother. Because really, Sarah was barren. She was not possible to give birth. She was fruitless. Like, you know, today, like we have heard, many countries, many economies, many people, many families become barren, fruitful, can't bring something, can't produce something. We hear decreasing everywhere. It's like emptiness. It's like something the nations and people lack today, in spite of, like, everything, like, okay, more or less. But we feel more and more barren situation in our world. And you know, this barren situation, I think it's produced with the lack of faith in all the world. Because what is a faith? What is a faith in God? What do we really do when we say we believe God? What really we want to show when we say we believe in God? Have we thought about it? When Abraham was called by God and left his land, what was his imagination about faith? What does it mean? I will give you lands and I will prosper you and many nations will come out of you. Very great. But he found out that his wife is barren. You know, he clearly knew that God is going to do it. To bless wife who is impossible to give birth. But we saw by time that it was very difficult to believe. It was very difficult to believe God's word. Because when Abraham got word from God, and God said, I will give you a son, and through your son will come out many nations. A year passed, no baby appeared. You know, you pray, year passed, nothing happened. But you had a prophecy. Second year passed, no baby. Third year, fourth year, sixth year, seventh year, eighth year. But you have prophecy that God is going to bless you, God is going to give great nations through you. And then 10th year. What do you think people were telling Abraham and Sarah about having no child? But God, everybody knew that they got the word from God that God is going to bless them. They were talking. Maybe we have to help God. Okay, maybe God meant that faith is something you just not to believe God, but you have to do something to help God to produce this child somehow. 9th year passed, no baby. 10 years. Can you imagine believing 10 years? Very often people think that faith is like a, you just believe and next second you have it. And if not, then you think you have no faith. But for me, I see today that faith is something that can go through years, through times, believing the same in spite of different circumstances, different conditions. And faith can be seen only through times. You don't need faith if you pray and next second you got the answer. It's miracle. When you pray and you get answer, this is miracle. This is not faith, like I understand. Faith for me is the mindset when you fix your mind in something, let's say to Bible, because we chose our God, yes, and His Word is the base for our life, and you just fixed your mind on this Word. And you never move left, and you never move right from this word. Doesn't matter what happens. Your country prospers or you have war. Doesn't matter. You try to live like this attitude. And then Abraham and Sarah, it was so difficult for them to believe that really God will do what He promised to do, that they started to help God. And they had some interesting schemes. Some ideas how you can do the same and it will even look like it is blessing from God. And they did it. You know how they did it. And when the child appeared, Sarah and Abraham thought, this is the God, this is the child from God. They thought and people around thought that it is the answer of God. Maybe they even gave testimony about answering, about having what God promised them to give. Because God told, you will have son. They saw son. It looked exactly like a boy. Ismail looked like a boy. And by the rules or laws of that time, if your servant gives birth to a child, it's like your child. You know, we very often we pray, then God doesn't come, and we start to do our own schemes, and something works out, and we have something. We got something, and we say, yeah, this is God's blessing. This is what we got from God. But it was like the product mixing, some mixed God's promise and your works. And it just looked like you got it from God. And just later, 10 years later, Abraham and Sarah understood that real son was given by God, but in 10 years. Very often, we like a people, when we pray and believe God, we are waiting for God, and I don't have quick results, we start to think how to help God. Maybe to help him, how to do it to help God. What was interesting in this case with Esau and Rebecca, you know, they didn't do what Abraham do. He prayed for his wife, she was barren, and exactly in 20 years they had these two children without any helping to God. And I see progress from generation to generation in faith. Because Abraham started with little bit help to God. His son could continue the same without helping, had possibility to believe 20 years for a promised child. But what's interesting, in her womb there were two children, two twin boys. We pray and wait for God, and we got it. Something has You know, we wanted faith very much. We wanted to believe God very much. And we got it. We got it. We were born again. God saved us. It was like a miraculous. We did nothing to be saved. And then in our heads, like in Rebecca's womb, there are like a twins, twin boys, you know, all the time fighting very often. It happened with many times on the earth, with people who try to believe God. I see this symbol like in our head, like we one day or one second we believe God. It's like first child was first born, as we read. 25th, he first come out, was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. Esau is a symbol of flesh, fleshy, but it was born, he was born from believing parents. It was promise of God. And one child was fleshy. Other one, after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Jacob originally means like hope for God's protection. He must hope for God's protection. But really in life, he started to see that he took place of God. He tried to protect his life, his calling, because he knew about his calling himself. These two brothers are symbols. The first one is like a fleshy symbol for our being. And second one is like a symbol of faith after salvation, but which is not clean yet from the very beginning, and the faith which is not based on love. Some faith. What was the difference between two brothers? The first one, who was first born, had all rights, birth rights, to get the inheritance of his parents. The first born, it was blessing, spiritual blessing. The second one, but Esau, he never honored it. He didn't see value in it. He didn't understand that this present, what was given by God, that he was first born, it is very important. And he never valued it. That's why in Hebrews we read, in Hebrews, I think, 12:9, if I'm not wrong, that he was called like ungodless, unclean. You know why? Just because he didn't value spiritual things. He did nothing wrong. Just spiritual things were not important for him. Just maybe something when he has time for spiritual things, okay, then he did it. For Jacob, from very beginning, being in mother's womb, he felt the value of spiritual things. He somehow understood that spiritual things have more value than material things. And he started to fight for being the first. But I told that Jacob, at the very beginning, he's like a symbol of our very weak faith just born, which is not yet clean, and which is not based on love or supported by love. That's why this faith, in spite of really believing in true spiritual value, Jacob started using his behalf. For his behalf. And he used all his life methods, different kind of methods. to get what really he had to have from God without any effort. Again, he started to help God. His mother, as we read, before their birth knew that youngest will be over oldest. She understood that youngest one will be the one who is chosen by God for continuation of blessing. And Rebecca was spiritual in this, that she valued it. She saw value in this. And I think it's not written in the Bible, but I think she told Jacob about it. That, you know, you are chosen by God to be over your eldest brother. And both of them were always thinking how to get this firstborn right from their brother. They couldn't wait when God comes and does what he wants to do like God wants to do. Again, we see some faith in God, some faith that really God wants to do it, but at the same time, people are ready to help God, to a little bit do it quicker. Why do we have to wait so long? I want to be healed just now, this second. I want war be stopped now because I want I want to live in good country with peace. Just God stop this war. Prayer looks like this for many believers. Just I want everything to be done immediately right now, like instant coffee. And we call it faith. But God is a coffee maker. He likes to do it long, to choose coffee, and to grind it, and then to make with some flavor, and, you know, to serve it, and maybe to come from one shop to another shop and look for the best. And we can't wait. When we will have what we promised us to have. They started to help God, both of them, Rebecca and Jacob. Sometimes I think that to get prophecy in advance, it's not good because you want to get it tomorrow. You can't live a relaxed life. You just wait, then it will come, then 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, like this. And you know how he got the first birthright? Through feeding his brother, because he used weakness of his brother. Fleshiness. I want to eat right now. I'm very weak. I'm very tired. I want it to have now. I want now to be comfort. I want now to have comfort. And he said, in being weak, in situation when Esau was weak, he said, why I need this birthright? For what I need it? I'm now tired. I'm now hungry. I want to have comfort now. Do you see? We often, very often, want to have everything right now. We want to have comfort right now. And sometimes we think, why I have to pray now? I'm very tired. And why I have to go to church? I'm very busy today, next time. Why I have to read Bible? I want to eat so much, but first I have to feed my family. In the morning, you have the best sleep, yeah? You know, when God is waiting for you very early, before sun comes up. And God is always coming, as I feel it in my life, and wants to have some intimate relationship with people. No, God always speaks with you, all the time. For me, faith is, you walk always in faith. There is no moment when you walk without God. You always walk with God. But mornings are some special time which God chose, as I see in Bible, for telling us something what He doesn't want or He maybe wants to tell in the morning. He wants to have time with you. And many people, it's very difficult for people to get up in the morning when it is the worst time for concentrating to God, to talk with Him. And we exchange it. We exchange this time for something which is material. You know, I started to think, why people don't oversleep not to miss the work? Because they want to earn money, yes? You come late once for work, second time for work, and you can be fired. In our country, it's like this. But why do you think that having no relationship with God, it's okay? There is no big value if I miss one prayer, second prayer, third prayer. It's okay. Remember I told you that Esau was called unrighteous, not because he did something wrong, because he didn't value spiritual things. Just it wasn't his value. And if something is not your value, but you try to do it, even to pray in the morning, or before going to bed, or during a day, and if it's not your value, you do it traditionally because everybody does it and it's right. It's not faith yet. Because faith is your value. It is a thing which is very necessary for you. It's like a water when you want to drink. You just get it. It's like a food. You see, if you are very hungry, you want to get it. Faith must be like this. It must be value in our life. And just because for Esau, it wasn't value, 1 second he even didn't notice how he sold his birthright, first birthright. And after that, he understood, oh, what I did. Chapter. I want us to read some promise which was given to Isaac. Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's times. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed. Because, why it will happen? Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commandments, my decrees, and my laws. You see, Bible explains what is faith. Sometimes we think that faith is just doing nothing. But we read clearly that God told that Abraham's faith was, what was it? Because Abraham obeyed me first. We have to obey God. Remember at the beginning I told that God's word is something which is valuable, the most valuable in our life. And we have to obey it, doesn't matter what happens in our life. Second, what did Abraham? Kept requirements, what God told. Commandments, Abraham kept commandments, and it is named faith. He kept decrees and laws. What's interesting is that God, at the very beginning, Before God told that I will bless you and what will happen with you, with your descendants, he told in the third verse. He said, I will be with you. You see, at the beginning of your calling, before God tells about your calling, you are called to do this and that. Your descendants will have that and this. God said, I will be with you. First, what's very important before calling, like Jacob knew about his calling, and he wanted to get this calling, he wanted to get this blessing by his own schemes, without waiting God. First, what he had to understand, that God, first, what he wants, to be with you. God wants us to understand that he always, always is with us. He is always with us. Every second, every minute, everywhere you go, he is with us. And this is the most difficult thing for people to understand. This is the most difficult thing for people to enjoy in their lives. Just to live with it. Everybody wants calling. You know, everybody is interested. What's my calling? What I have to do? What I will be? What will be my calling? How great I will be? I want prophecy. I want to know it. But first thing what God wants from us is, I'll be with you. But it didn't work. Because Isaac did his own way. He didn't listen to God's word. Then when we can read that God promised to be with Jacob. Chapter 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and sent out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set, taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. You know, it is a time when after his doings, after Jacob's spiritual doings together with his mother, he had to escape home from his brother. You know, he got the birth, right? He got blessing, but you know, at the same time, he got many, many problems. Now, when we help God, what happens? You know, anywhere we will get what God promised us to get. Always we will get it. If God said it, you will get it. Yeah? If God said it, you will get it. But when you help God to get it quicker, a little bit. Because we people think like this, doesn't matter what time it will come. We always gain a lot of problems in our life because we helped God. And I see in Bible very clearly that real problems, hardships in our life, in the lives of God's people, appeared only then when they didn't listen to God or helped God. And God, and he was escaping from home, and he saw a dream. 12. And he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. You see, Jacob knew about calling, but he didn't know the Lord. Very often people take calling, grasp calling, and just go forward. And you know, somewhere in the middle of their ministry, they start to understand, wow, there is some, you know, stairway to heaven. Oh, some Lord. He's telling something. In the middle of their ministries, it can happen like this. And he understood that God is there. He is escaping. He is not in the promised land now. And God is even there. God is everywhere. You know, God is everywhere, in America, in Ukraine, in every country, doesn't matter where you are, there is a God. There is God. And he started saying that God is even now with him. It was a very big revelation for him. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, tells the God. You know, he again tells, I am with you. Hello, Jacob. You are escaping home. You are afraid of being killed, but you know I am with you. And I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will watch you wherever you go. You see, it's very difficult to understand because it's impossible to understand. It's not a mental thing to feel the God all the time and understand that he's watching you. You know, right now, God is watching us. Do you feel it? And I'm with you, he tells. Maybe you have some questions to God today, maybe some mess in your life. And God tells you, no, I'm with you and I'm watching you. When you start to feel this presence of God every time, it's like doesn't matter where you live from one side. Only in case if God tells you, you have to leave this land. I'm with you. And God wanted, and he told, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You know, if you are not healed yet, God is not going to leave you until what? Until he hasn't healed you. He will do it. If he hasn't answered your prayers yet, he will do it. He will watch you over. He will lead you to your prayers come true. He will be always with you. And this way, Jacob started to grow in reality of faith. And he started to feel the love of God. That doesn't matter what happened, where he is, what he is doing. God is with him. And he tells the same word. After lying to his father, after deceiving his brother, God tells him, I'm with you, and I will watch over you, and I will do everything what I have promised you to do. But we know the further life of Jacob, further 20 years. And these next 20 years were God's work in Jacob for making real faith. Because no one can really come into promised land. Because God told, I will return you back. He couldn't leave Jacob in promised land. God couldn't do it. Because he had no character. He had no real mindset of faith. His faith was just based on some promises without feeling God being with him. And God didn't like it. God wanted Jacob to study how it is to live with God every day. How it is to change life, not through your efforts, but through the presence of God, through the love of God. And you know, it really took 20 years for Jacob. You want to go into your calling? You want your calling to come true in your life? You have to spend time with God to make your character. I want to leave you today with this word that God is always with you. Doesn't matter what happened in your life. You were right, you were wrong, you were deceived or you deceived somebody. God's word, what he said in his word, will be always true, will always come true. We don't need to help him. We just need to relax, but we have to do what we have to do. We have to love can never be taught. And I think that faith can never be taught too. It's impossible for me from pulpit to teach you love or to teach you faith. Because it's not a material thing. It's like a spiritual diamond, you know, and it can be made out only by the hand of God. But only then, when we are waiting in faith for his hand come to our life. And I want you to wish, everybody to wish, to help God less, because he is okay. He has all resources, strengths, and he understands everything. He doesn't need advisors and helpers. But I call you to do what you have to do. Work with your character, be with God, value him, and just love him. I bless you.
I never tell people who come to visit with us what they should say. And so I'm particularly encouraged this morning by Osma's message. And it was a kind of an exclamation point on an encounter I had with the Lord just yesterday. I had received an unexpected check. And I went to my institution to deposit it. And the day before that, I had received a solicitation to reduce the interest rate on one of the mortgages that I hold, and it would cost me absolutely nothing. They initiated contact with me to reduce my interest rate and reduce my monthly payment. I think that's good news. I didn't do anything, okay? So I'm coming out of the bank, and I look at my car, and there's this license plate on it that some of my friends forced me to put on my car, and it's coming off in 2 years. It says Dr. LDC. And I stood there in that little bit of moisture dripping out of the heavens. And I looked at that car and I thought of what I'd just done, the offer I got the day before, the poverty from which I came, the brokenness in which I had lived, and the sphere of influence I now occupy in the world. And I just stood there thanking God for his faithfulness to me. Because when I was a young warrior, broken and became a pastor, I was going to build a great church, and it was going to be this, that, and the other, and you were going to do it if I killed you. And over the years, that's just melted away. And now I look, what is the Lord doing? And I just kind of wander over there and stand around where he's doing, what he's doing, you know. And I look forward to that because there's no pressure in it. There's some stress, usually induced by somebody other than you, but somebody like you. Because you're still living in that performance, get it right, be religious kind of thinking that you come in here with. But what Lazma's saying to us is true. If you will just value the Lord and the things that he values, there will be such an amazing turn of events in your existence. And I look across this auditorium this morning, and I could point to this one, and to that one, and to those, and to these, and to that one, and just begin to tell you stories of how God has changed their lives. They finally gave up trying and just gave in to God. And we're hearing those stories. They're telling us about how they got saved, how they got transformed, the miracles God's done financially. We're going to continue hearing those. Next week, Paula is going to give her testimony. And she's got a wonderful testimony. You know, I'll be sending all of you, if I have your updated email contact information on the blue thing you were supposed to fill out this morning so it doesn't bounce back to me saying the server cannot find this address. If you got that correct this morning, I'm going to send you a little 3 points on how to prepare your story. Because we're going to spend this year listening to your stories. Every week I want somebody telling a portion of that. And you've got lots of stories. But between now and Easter we have a particular theme. How you came to Christ. What is your story? Because the Holy Spirit is going to give you an opportunity to share your story. And I want you to be ready. Gentlemen, I like to receive an offering that's not in hryvnia, but in dollars, which will help change the circumstances of Lazma and her family as she goes back into a nation that is absolutely in chaos. Make your checks out to our Father's house, and we will see that every penny we receive, whatever we say we're receiving it for, goes to that. We're not like other places I have read about and some that I've known personally. As you consider 2015, I'm going to be asking us to re-engage the concept of personal reflection. Did you even slow down long enough at any point in 2014 to acknowledge what God was doing in your life? Can you look back over this last year and find the finger path of God that was bringing you forward? See, these things are not hidden from us. When we encourage you to take experiencing God as a class, it is so you are set up for life to know what it is to meet with the Lord personally. I remember multiple times walking into this room by myself late at night, early in the morning, nobody but me, coming through those two doors right there and stepping into the manifest presence of God. Because this area has been devoted to Him. The Lord hangs out here for us. Are you all aware of that? But I've also awakened in my bed under the covers in the presence of the Lord and go, oh! I didn't know He would get under the covers with me. I didn't until it happened. You know? I have stepped away from the dining room table, headed for the bathroom. Flesh, human. And stepped into the manifest presence of the Lord. His reality is tangible when you value His presence. And so this year, I want you to re-engage the morning greeting. Welcome, Holy Spirit. What are we going to do today? And it might be the same thing you did yesterday. But when you say, welcome, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? You view today differently because an opportunity could arise. Have any of you ever missed God and you knew it? And you, oh, I missed God because I was so focused on the mission, I wasn't capable of responding to the presence. Learning to relax and not help God so much takes a lot of pressure off of our Christian walk. Would you stand? Well, welcome back from your overeating, traveling too much, drinking too much, staying up too late. It's time to shake it all off and recapture our disciplines. Father, I thank You so much for Your faithfulness. You were with me when I didn't know it. You kept me when I didn't want to be kept. In those times I just wanted it all to end, you picked me up one more time. Many of us can look back over our shoulder and see now what we could not see when you were doing it. But we're reminded today, you will be with us always, even to the end of the age. I pray for Lazma, her family, the union of churches, the nation, the soldiers that the churches are feeding and clothing in these severe winter times, because the government can't even help their own army. I thank you, Lord, for those who are pressing into God across that nation, because crisis is causing the cry for God to emerge from their lips with great fervency. And we join our hearts and faith with them for your redemptive grace to move in that nation, for your presence to become known in the streets, for the cry for the reality and not just the religion of that nation, but the reality of God to become part of every household. Send, Lord, your angels to protect the righteous ones. Send, Lord, your Holy Spirit to convict the unrighteous ones. And let us read and hear of the good reports of God in that nation as you move through history to accomplish your ends in every nation. We thank you, Lord, for the relative peace that we enjoy. We have recognized the unrest that's happening in our culture, but we believe God is managing the outcome. Help us as your people, your representatives, to be so aligned with you and so in tune with you that we are able to speak wisdom into the fear that many are beginning to experience. Stand us up in faith. Let us live in your presence. Let us walk in confidence that you are with us. To this end, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open if you need prayer, fellowship in the lobby. If not, our first-time guests are invited to the hospitality room out the doors and to the left. Enjoy one another before you leave.